Hello, Staffordshire Police.
Hello again and welcome back to The Beat, the voice of Staffordshire Police, and to part two of our conversation with Special Constable Christian Roberts. Christian, I want to talk about when you first joined the Specialist Constabulary. It was during COVID, wasn't it?
Yep. So you attend a familiarisation event first. It's a requirement before you can apply. And the reason that they have it is to kind of tell you a little bit more about what it's really like, just so you know it's not this sort of rainbows and unicorns kind of situation. I did that in January 2020, which was before COVID really kicked off. I was quite happy at that point, set my application in, and it can take 8-9 months for it to go through, even longer sometimes. It depends on things like vetting. I joined the college about a week before the second lockdown, which was the one that came in after Christmas 2020. We joked and laughed about who was going to be in our Christmas bubbles, because that's when, if you remember, Boris Johnson had his Christmas bubbles. He then shut down the requirement for it could happen only on Christmas Day. I did my first college on the 19th and 20th of December, and I then spent Christmas all by myself because I couldn't then go home to Scotland. So it was a weird time. And then when I first came out of the college in April 2021, we were only just at the point where you could crew with different people. We wore masks everywhere. For the first year of my career with the specials, I wore a sanitary mask to go into anybody's house or into any building. That was all I knew. I didn't know busy pubs and clubs and things like that. And that's sort of come about again slowly as the years have passed. But yeah, it was a weird start, I suppose.
Well, yeah, it does seem like a real baptism of fire, but even the way you're describing that 3 years on, it's mad to think we actually lived through that.
Yeah, it was odd. The force had things like COVID cars who went around enforcing COVID restrictions and things like that when I first started. And it was a massive deal. Even when you'll remember when we couldn't get hold of tests, personal tests at home, we got issued tests because we were in the college and we had to attend that in person. And it is odd to think all this time later what it was like. But yeah, we came out the other end, didn't we? And managed to sort of regain some form of normality from it.
Well, when I spoke to Sue, she was talking about the differences between when she started out as a special 30 years ago to what it's like now. Even during COVID times to now, there must be a lot of changes that had to come about because of the introduction of restrictions and then when they were lifted.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I say, I didn't experience nightlife. So there's several towns in the county where nightlife is an important part of neighbourhood policing. Stafford, where I'm based, is one of them. But yeah, I'll take an example. There was a whole generation of people who turned 18 during lockdowns that hadn't experienced that sort of nightlife culture. So I distinctly remember my first summer where the lockdowns had finished and people were starting to get back out there. And it was just all these people who had turned 18, 19 even during the lockdowns that were just letting off a bit of steam. And it was a lot of young people that we were dealing with out there.
You must feel lucky then about what you can do now compared to how it was when you started.
Yeah, I would say so. I think I didn't see the worst of it. So when I was in the application period and then in the college was probably the first lockdown was arguably when things changed the most. And I do talk to officers that went out during that time, and it was the bizarreness of empty streets and things like that. So things that was almost dystopian that we wouldn't imagine ever seeing now. But yeah, I think it was a bit of a change from first coming out of the college to even the last couple of years. Like I say, I take new specials out now. I remember what my first shift was like. I take somebody new out now and it is very much the luck of the draw. You could have a nice shift where you're showing people the patch and showing people where sometimes you have problem hotspots and things like that. Or the most recent student I took out went to the petrol station 5 minutes into the shift to grab a drink. Called on shift to tell them I was there. I'm a crewmate, and they're like, "Oh, we've got a high priority call outstanding. Can you just make this area, please?" And it was literally this guy, half an hour into his career in the specials, was dealing with somebody who'd been aggressive and ultimately needed then dealing with.
That sounds like a really good endorsement for the training that you received. That even half an hour into your very first shift, you're capable enough and you're confident enough to do that.
Yeah, that's going to depend on the person. Some people, it's like, whoa, it's actually happening. You can't quite replace the training where you're working with your peers with the real world. But you soon find out when you get started what it's really like.
Is it like when you're learning to drive and they say you've got your lessons and you then pass your test, but you really start to drive once you're there by yourself? Is it a similar sort of thing? Like, you've done your training, you've gone through all of the hoops, but then when you're actually doing it yourself, that's when the learning process really begins.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think it's very similar. It's worth saying that you don't get chucked out on the street with a uniform and expected to get on with it. The process of becoming able to be independent, to go out by yourself, takes time. I mean, most people, a year is a sensible length of time in the specials. It takes a lot longer than the time the regulars take because we're only there once a week. And there's a multitude of boxes that you need to tick to say that you've done different things. But they make sure that when you are ready, 99 times out of 100, you've got a good idea of what you need to do because you've seen it when you were with somebody who was tutoring you.
What are those first few months and that first year as a special like?
I couldn't get enough of it. I was convinced I was going to join the job. I was there twice a week, every week. I was pulling 80, 90, 100 hours a month on top of my day job. It was just all I wanted to do. It's worth saying I wasn't in a relationship at the time. Maybe that helped. But yeah, it was almost like an obsession to start with, because I think you go through all that process. It takes a long time to join, do the training and everything else, that you kind of like, well, this is going to be amazing. And it was interesting. My friend who'd done it for all that time said to me, you know, don't go mad. I ignored him. And then kind of burnt myself out a bit and had to take a little bit of a break from it. So it is funny, like, I think the thing you remember sometimes is as volunteers, you really want to be there. Whereas the people are being paid to do it, they want to be there, they want to do that job. But I think sometimes it's harder when you're doing it 6 days in 10. For us, it's like, you know, we want to be there. So, you know, we're enthusiastic. And I think, and it varies from person to person. Some are more enthusiastic, like myself. Some are quite content with the minimum hour requirement.
For that enthusiasm, when you first started to maybe do the job full time, at what point did that fall by the wayside?
About the time that I burnt myself out, I decided that I'd probably got a little bit too hard. But no, I think it dawned on me as I was about to become an independent officer that it was about to be me making those decisions. I wasn't going to be able to hide behind someone else. And you realise that how much responsibility is involved in the job. It's not just putting on all this cool kit and driving around in a shiny car all day. You do have to be that person that deals with issues that fundamentally other people don't want to deal with. That's why they call the police. It's not just for a chat, is it? So I think that realization was what changed things for me. And it wasn't about becoming less enthusiastic. I'm still hopefully exuding the fact that I'm as enthusiastic as ever. It's very much that there are certain things you come to realise when you gain a little bit of experience that it is an extremely difficult job to do. And it isn't for everyone. But if you want to do it, do it.
I couldn't agree more. That's certainly a good promotional message for people that may be thinking about joining. Are there any other words of advice you maybe would give to those that are considering it?
Yeah. So I think for me, go make sure that you make the most of the familiarisation event at the beginning before the application process. They basically, the police put on evenings at various points in the year, they advertise them online, whereby it's like a familiarisation event. If you want to become a special constable, this is what it's all about. And to that event, they will send people from communications, people from the HR department, but they will also send people from the specials to talk about their experiences. They usually don't pick the nicest experience. And the reason for that is you've got to realise it can be a horrible job. So you get told about the jobs where people have been run at with people with weapons, or you've got jobs where people have got injured, because you've got to realise what you're coming into. But if you're comfortable with that, and I will express that this is what the team, having a team around you is for. There is never a more comforting thing in the police than when you call for help and the world and their dog turn out to help you. It is like, I've done it before. From the middle of the town centre, I'm on the floor dealing with something and I've needed help. I've called for help and, you know, you're talking seconds, minutes later, it feels longer. And there's this sort of 7, 8, 9, 10 officers turned up, and there's nothing more comforting to know that when you do need that help, it is there. And I think it's, you know, realizing that makes you realize that, you know, it's not always unsafe. There's no guarantees that it will always be safe, but you've got to know that team's behind you.
So I suppose the concluding message is no regrets in joining the specials from you.
Not really. There's been hard times. Sometimes things don't always go your way. There's always challenges that we as specials face in terms of the way we're recognised compared to the regulars. But on the whole, no, I don't regret it.
Final question then. If you could sum up your experience in the specials with the title of a song, what would it be?
Oh, you're going to have to give me a minute to think about that. Sum up my experience in a song. I suppose I would have to go with something like Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, because when you get out there and you realise the world is not the world you thought it was because the police deal with, you know, certain types of people, not always, and you realise that everywhere, including the places that you live and that you work, there's different sides to society. So,
well, considering that I sprung that question upon you without any prior warning, you did very well to answer that as quickly as you did. But Christian Roberts, thank you so much for your time. As I expected, another great perspective on who the specials are and what they're about. As we're doing with each episode in this mini-series, we're going to have a link in the description to our specials page on our website, a comprehensive guide as to what the specials are and how you can become one. So, Christian, thank you so much. Thank you to you as well for listening. I will see you for another episode of The Beat, the voice of Staffordshire Police. We'll see you then.